This episode of Boat Briefing is sponsored by Amico & Co. Based in Genoa, at the heart of the Mediterranean, Amico & Co. is a family-owned refit yard with more than two centuries of maritime heritage behind it. Today, the yard is widely recognised for its work on large yachts, offering a full-service refit capability delivered largely through its own in-house teams, from paint and engineering to complex conversions and structural projects. Rooted in one of Europe's great historic port cities, Amico combines tradition, technical depth, and long-term thinking, making it a trusted partner for owners, captains, and shipyards alike.
Welcome to the Boat Briefing Podcast. I'm Cécile Garrett, editor of Boat International US, and today I'm joined by Boat Business Editor, Gabriela Lazaridis. We are going to take a look at the upcoming Palm Beach International Boat Show. How exciting. How are you, Gabby?
I'm doing well, Cécile. Nice to chat to you from across the ocean.
I know. We haven't been in the same location for a little while.
No, and we won't be for some time because I'm not going to Palm Beach, but I can't wait to hear about it.
You're going to have to enjoy it vicariously, I guess.
Yeah. No, you know what? I was quite excited to talk to you about it this session just because I've never been. So I don't actually have a distinct identity in mind for FLIBS Palm Beach in Miami. So in my mind, Palm Beach is specifically for bigger boats, but not necessarily new product, which differentiates it from Monaco.
Yeah, it's kind of right. It's not necessarily a big boat show in terms of super yachts. That's been changing the last few years. This show is a bit of a phenomenon, really. It's been growing and growing. And finally, European boat builders and the Super Yacht Association of Boat Builders, as CBAS, as we call them, have taken notice. It's the right time of year. It's a beautiful location. It's easy to get in, easy to get out. You can take people to restaurants, that kind of thing. So they really like it. And especially it's the right crowd. So yes, in a way, you're right. Bigger boats now. And also in terms of brokerage, yes, that's also true. There are more brokerage boats that perhaps in Monaco. There's not that many new builds debuting for the first time in the world in Palm Beach, although it can happen, but it's not often the case.
Right. So we've got kind of a preliminary data set from BoatPro, our superyacht market intelligence platform, of all the boats attending so far. Did you just want to run through a couple of quick stats, see where we're at in the lead up to the show? Now, I think about a week away, right?
Right. Let's see what, yeah, almost. By the time this airs, I'm not quite sure, but it's coming up pretty soon. Well, you're the business editor, Gabby, so I will definitely let you run through the numbers. I'm more of a word person myself.
So we'll definitely, by the time this goes up, I imagine we'll have more of a complete data set online. But at the time being, we are currently at 145 yachts in attendance. And of course, there are going to be more announced in the next couple of days. But typically, we're expected to reach about the same level as last year. So last year, there were 200. This year, I think we're going to be anywhere from 180 to 200, according to our research director, Raphael. Average length so far is looking pretty much on par with last year at 37 and a bit meters, mostly motor yachts. Last year, there weren't any sail yachts, in fact, and this year we've already got three confirmed to be attending. So I don't know what that tells you about US preferences.
I'm not sure. It's pretty rare.
Yeah, clearly. There's going to be more debuts this year already. Last year, there were only three debuts. I find that hard to believe for a boat show, but I'll defer to you if that's relatively common for Palm Beach.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, what part of the reason is that we have fewer new boat builders in the US than before. And when we're looking at yachts, when we say yachts, we are looking at a particular data set that includes only yachts from 24 meters and up. And while there are still boats of that size being constructed in the United States, you know, like Berger, Westport, and Delta primarily, the other builders that are very prolific in the U.S. tend to build yachts below 24 meter. So like a powerhouse like a Viking in New Jersey who builds all these sport fish boats, they tend to fall below that 24 meter line in general.
Well, this year we're already up to seven new debuts. So maybe a indication that things are changing. But Yes, like you said, most of the confirmed fleet so far is in the smaller size category, so between 24 and 40 meters. But with that being said, there are already more confirmed yachts in attendance that will be 70 meters and above than were at last year's show. So last year, there were only three yachts 70 meters and above. And this year, there's already confirmed to be five. So this show, I think, is going to be quite substantial. Last year, the largest yacht was the 85-meter Bold. But this year, the largest is going to be, so far, the largest confirmed yacht in attendance is the 78-meter, I'm going to butcher this name, but Rocinante?
Rocinante, right. Your lawyer said, yes.
Do you think we're going to see a boat bigger than 85 meters at this show?
I don't think so. I mean, sometimes the show spills over a little bit on the north end to the private yard, Rybovich. Technically, I'm not super sure it's part of the show, but sometimes it's convenient for brokers to take clients up there. And because the yard is only a 15-minute drive, maybe 20 minutes with traffic from the main show location, which is on the west side of the Lake Worth and Intracoastal Waterway there. So yeah, maybe there. 85 meters is very large for yachts being in the main part of the show. But one of the reasons the show has evolved so much is that there's been a lot of work done on the marina downtown. The docks are, larger to accommodate larger yachts. So when the boat show gained access to these new docks, it opened up the possibility for bringing ever so larger yachts to Palm Beach. So I think that's part of the reason. I mean, some years ago, the show started, I believe, in 1982, something like that. So it's been a steady presence forever. But originally, it was more sportfish and maybe some of the local boats that work in the U.S. in that part of the world, traditional Trumpies with shallow draft that historically, people in Palm Beach have loved or in that area have loved. And I had trouble convincing a European boat builder some years ago to come in and take a look at the show. I said, it's really growing. And so, of course, he did what everybody would do as a European. Instead of relying on local knowledge, he went to ask an Italian buddy of his, "Hey, what about Palm Beach?" And he said, "Well, it's really a sportfish show." I said, "Okay, fine, do as you please." So it's taken a little time for the word to catch on, but now it has. So yes, we are seeing bigger boats at Palm Beach than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Like you said, the U.S. is known to be the world's largest superyacht market, but mostly for the smaller end, so 24 to 40 meters. But if the Palm Beach show is starting to incorporate bigger and bigger yachts, does that mean that the yachting culture in the U.S. is now starting to evolve into something more classically European? And that's kind of why we're seeing all of those European builders start to devote more to invest more in these U.S. shows? And if so, then how can we expect the yachting infrastructure and the ecosystem to start to change to support all of this movement towards larger boats?
Well, I mean, some of the things you said are definitely true. I don't know if it's the Americans becoming more European in their buying habits. They are building more in Europe now than ever before. There always were Americans who bought very large yachts. In fact, before the Russians sort of disappeared out of the market almost entirely in recent years, and they were driving the really, really big boats. Now it's really the American owners who are driving the really big segment of the yachting world with yachts that are quite large. I mean, a number of the big yachts that have been redelivered this year, I'm looking, and they're all associated with American owners, or I should say owners from the United States or maybe North America, because obviously we have a lot of owners from Mexico as well that have been buying traditionally larger yachts. What's happening, I think, is that we have more people buying larger yachts than ever before. So I think the 50 to 60 meter segment is become more in demand in recent years, in part because also the yard that built, not strictly custom, but like platforms, that semi-custom yachts are also offering these options in the larger sizes. I mean, talk about, for example, a Diamond Yachting, their limited editions, which they introduced quite a few years ago. It took a little time for the U.S. market to get into it, but now they're very much fully on board with that. And those platforms or semi-custom are getting larger and larger. Limited editions from Diamond Yachting, for instance, is up to 80 meter, and they have just launched a third one, I think, recently this week. long answer to your question, but yes, I think Americans have always traditionally built large yacht. I think it's more Americans are building large yacht than ever before for different reasons. And in terms of the facilities and logistics, you're absolutely right. This is creating a bit of a problem. I mean, yeah, their dockage is an issue for these big boats. So in a place like Fort Lauderdale, where I am based, for example, people just buy multi-million-dollar waterfront villa primarily for the dock. That's what,
really?
Yes, absolutely. That's what's driving. And that's happening, you know, up and down the coast. So.
Wow. Well, I mean, I remember talking to the founder and CEO of Habacoa, which is this major super yacht development, marina development being built in the Bahamas, telling me about how all the American owners essentially will just send their boat down and store it there because it's a short flight from Florida. And he said that there's about 7 super yachts for every 1 compatible slip in the U.S. And I thought that was just crazy. And even more than that, for yachts bigger than 100 meters, he said there's only about 4 slips in the Bahamas and less than 20 in the entirety of the Caribbean. So they're really going to have to start building up that infrastructure, especially if U.S. clients are now starting to really buy more big yachts.
Right. Well, so the city, that's very true. Like the city of Miami Beach had just approved a private owner to develop a essentially private marina down in Miami on one of a triangular island near Fisher Island. You know, the gentleman has made huge real estate investments in Miami and Miami Beach. So he was seen favorably by the local city government, and he got permission to use his land, which was for a short while used as public slips for larger yachts, as a private marina for himself. So yeah, I mean, definitely the push for these big slips is something to look at. Mm-hmm. All this obviously has helped the Palm Beach Boat Show to evolve. Although I am always liking to tie things into history. This is, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Right now I'm steeped into the 20s and 30s because I'm working on a story on 2 women of that period who happened to be identified as the owners of the 2 largest yachts in the world back then.
Oh, wow.
And one of them is Marjorie Meriwether Post, and she was described as the queen of Palm Beach. She was a businesswoman and a very interesting person. But anyway, since I'm reading all this history about her, there's quite a few very interesting biographies of her. I'm revisiting it. And Palm Beach was a hotbed for yachting, you know, as early as 1890. Actually, there was the first yacht club that was there was before the city was a city. And then there were a number of builders like Sportfish builder Rybovich that got there. And then, of course, it's just a place where people would go in the 19 and 20s with this really big boat and meet there for the winter. So it has that tradition behind it. And if you count now that you have all these refit facilities coming around, these big networks, you know, for service, including Rybovich, then the current Rybovich as a refit yard, not the builder. So then, you know, it is definitely a hotbed of yachting still and will be for some time.
You know what? I think that's really interesting because when you think about the history of yachting, you tend to think your mind immediately conjures images of, you know, rivas on the Italian and French Riviera and that glossy mahogany wood. And you don't really think of American boating culture. So I'll be looking forward to reading your piece and learning a little bit more about it.
Yeah. No, actually, the Americans always have loved boating, yachting. It's really a big part of the culture in the United States. It's always been. And yeah, 20s, 30s, the biggest boat in the world were built by Americans at that
time. Is it fair to say that, you know, the European boating culture back in the day was mostly about, you know, relaxing and indulging in La Dolce Vita, and America was more focused around the sport aspect, which is why sport fishers were so popular?
So yeah, there is not one person owning a boat, like one profile. So yes, you have the sport fish enthusiast where boating is a big deal to go fishing. Certainly fishing is big tradition here, especially around Florida, you know, Caribbean, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico. But at the time of the 30s, for example, when we had those really big boats being built in Europe for Americans, it was, you know, also explorers. They would take those boats all around the world, you know, and then they would come back in the winter and be seen in South Florida. Anyway, we are kind of digressing, but what we've all this to say that the culture and the history are there for Palm Beach to continue to be a huge draw for many, many reasons.
I mean, it sounds like it's shaping up to be a really exciting show. And I say that because it's definitely going to be an exciting show for more than one reason. Boat has some pretty exciting news regarding this year's show. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Well, so they launched this new invitation-only introduction to superyacht ownership for prospective buyers. And it's really interesting. Obviously, everybody wants to talk to these people, right, to try to get them into the superyacht ownership or yacht ownership altogether. So we will be hosting this on the day before the show, on the 24th. It's open to prospective buyers and the current yacht owners who are looking perhaps to build new for the first time or go into larger yachts and are kind of trying to figure out what is the best way to do this. So I am actually taking care of one panel on new builds, and I will have a surveyor, a project manager, the sales director for Diamond Yachting as well, to answer questions for people trying to figure out, okay, so I wanted to get to do this. I want to do it well. I want to do it with the right price. I want to be happy when I'm finished doing it. So that's the idea. And then we have several panels around the whole superyacht ownership. So that should be very interesting.
I was looking at all of them. They look like such interesting topics. There was obviously the one that you mentioned, embarking on a new build. There's how to approach the brokerage market, how to manage owning a superyacht and everything that comes after the purchase. And you're also bringing on current owners to talk about their experiences and what they've learned. So not only just super interesting, but also super helpful. When you think about it, it does seem like a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it? Like, I can't believe that something like this hasn't been done before in the industry.
Yeah, I guess because, you know, for a long time, the business model, I guess, was sort of, that's the role of maybe the broker or the, you know, sales specialist to do this. I think the interesting part of making this sort of a third party event, like media, we're in, but we out sort of thing. We can sort of be more neutral about everything and try to present a comprehensive information package, not just geared to one company.
It won't sound as much like someone's being pitched the entire time. They're really there to learn intricacies of buying a boat. But something did stand out to me when, you know, I'm looking at all of the press around the announcement of this event. They're being so secretive about, they're taking such care to make sure that this is a very serious process. So there's an application process because, you know, they want spots to go to serious buyers who will benefit from it the most. And also they're not even revealing the name or the name of the venue anywhere publicly. I'm assuming that's going to be sent privately to all of the attendees, but it really just goes to show the care.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a safe environment for people who really truly want to find some information, and yes, not being, you know, pitched or outright sold to. So yeah, that's part of the idea.
How are you evaluating the applicants and determining the most serious buyers?
I'm not involved in that part of it. I guess they will look at the profile, and if they can't figure it out, then probably there'll be some conversation back and forth. Now, as you are, people who listen to Boat Briefing may know already, we have an owners club, and those are owners of yachts. And I guess that is also going to their networks and their friends. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Should we get on to some news of the show?
Yeah, let's look at some of the boats. They're so exciting. The lineup is truly exciting, honestly. So I am always self-serving here, so I'm going to talk about my cover in April, which is none other than the beautiful Ciarán Amor Vida, which will be one of the very interesting new yachts at Palm Beach, debuting on the U.S. market. Beautiful boat, and also it's the first time in years that I can remember Ciarán able to show new boats in the United States, so that's really cool. And it so happens that it made the cover of April. What a coincidence.
It's amazing how these things line up so perfectly. You couldn't have planned it better.
That's right.
That, though, was basically designed by the same team as Apo, right? So Nuvolari Leonard for the exterior, and also Valentina Zanier, who helped out on the interior. So she's definitely going to make for a beautiful copper boat. We can be sure.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I hadn't thought in those terms, but yes, it is very nice boat. So yeah, so that's one I'm very excited in seeing. I haven't had that opportunity yet. The yacht was delivered shortly before, sometime in midsummer, maybe last year. Didn't make it to the Monaco Yacht Show. The owners were very, very happy to get on and just go away for a while. So yeah, it will be nice. I'm sure it won't be that easy to get on, but maybe I'll have a friend or two who will let me
know. If anyone can, it'll be you, Cecile. So quite a few interesting boats joining the show from the brokerage market.
Yeah. So one of them is Boardwalk Fedship. I wrote about that one. The owner is a huge fan of yachting. He's a very family-oriented guy who loves to entertain. He had thoroughly planned this boat and gave it a lot of detailing. He's actually a huge fan of Westport yachts, and he had several of those before. So people were sort of saying, well, it's like the largest Westport yacht ever built. But it was actually done at Fedship. But yes, it has sort of that look. Wonderful spaces, great high ceiling, multiple bars, super comfortable. Anyway, so that will be an interesting yacht for somebody to see. I think there is definitely maybe, how should I put this, an American approach to yacht interiors, design and yachting that differs from some of the European tastes. So I think any serious American buyer looking for well-built European yacht that appeals to their American sensibilities, a sense of space, the economics, the entertainment, the open spaces, huge pool, that's definitely one to look at. And the owner is actually putting it on the market because he's awaiting delivery of his next larger Larsen. So another one that caught my eye is Kensho. That's really one of my favorites for the recent years, in particular for the distinctive interior by Joan Moncou. I saw that in Monaco a couple of years ago when it was delivered, and I absolutely love the interior of that boat particularly. And it did actually win multiple awards, well, Spriot Awards, as well as a Boat Design and Innovation Awards.
She's definitely one that stood out to me over the years, and I finally got a chance to see her in person recently. I went to St. Bart's for New Year's.
Wow, you were one of the few.
It's a story for a whole nother time, Cecile.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to chat about that.
We'll have to. But even, you know, I think this year was a record, and there were more than 200 super yachts, not just yachts, but super yachts there. But even in the midst of that crowd, she looked so distinct from the rest, and she really stood out.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not sure if it's her shape or her color that makes her stand out so much. I kind of have this notion in my head that if she was white, she'd look a little bit like Excellence.
Yeah, I can see why you would say that. A bit less of the glass, but yeah, I can see why you would say that. I actually happen to be one who likes the look. I know it's not for everyone. It had some detractors, you know, because the appearance is so different. There's a couple of things about the layout that is quite different that may not appeal to everyone. But that interior is gorgeous. I love the exterior spaces. Yeah. Anyway, it's definitely one to see for sure.
And I mean, anytime someone does something different or avant-garde, it's going to be polarizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Olivia O, but I think she looks great.
Oh, definitely a must-see if you're able to get on.
Yeah.
And then we have two Casino Royale on the show. Let's not confuse. So there's an Amels and a Tankoa, which is this Italian yard in Genoa, which is expanding very much in the last couple of years. They're both around the 70-meter mark. And as you can probably surmise by the name, they were touched by the same person who is a huge, huge supporter of yachting for many, many years, as well as a fan of the James Bond series. So both of them are at the show this year.
I mean, side tangent, because that's what I do best. But you say let's not confused, but I used to be so confused by this because I'd never thought that I thought no two yachts could have the same name, but do I have it right that, and I've been trying to work through how this could be possible, but is it the case that there can be multiple yachts of the same name so long as they aren't under the same registry?
I believe you're right, but I'm not 100% sure. I think it has to do with, yeah, the flagging and everything. Yes, I think that's what you're right. But actually, it's a good thing for me to go and look at and research, because truthfully, until you asked this question, I'm not sure I really thought about it. what I did know from a very long time is that you have to be careful because, like, very, very early in my career, I made the mistake of confusing two boats with the same name. So I've never done that mistake again.
Goodness. You know what I did that was quite embarrassing? When I first joined the industry, I kept mixing up Mulder Shipyard and Mulder Design.
Oh, right. Yes. Well, that's easy to do as well.
Moment for me. But anyway, tell me about some more of the yachts to look forward to.
So there is a very large San Lorenzo, 62-meter San Lorenzo called Alchemist, which I believe, yeah, it's the first time at a U.S. boat show anywhere. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. I have not ever seen that boat before. San Lorenzo does really beautiful interiors as well. So looking forward to seeing that.
And again, really signals how much the yards are now perceiving the U.S. market to be, you know, up and coming. It's not simple to send such a large yacht to shows overseas, but, you know, clearly they think it's worth the effort.
Yeah. I haven't really followed this yacht at all. I'm not quite sure where it's been, or I assume maybe it was in the Caribbean. I don't know if it's even charters. I think it's actually a private yacht. So no, I don't know. But yeah, you're probably right. Then there's a couple of interesting ones, like Alpha G. That's an Oshinko, one of the older ones, which was completely refit last year in 2024. Back to the original owner, interestingly enough. Mm. The refit was done by Alexandre Thiria, who is an alumnus of Pinto Design. Pinto Design worked on this owner's yachts. Alexandre was part of it. And so they brought him back and to kind of update this yacht. And it's quite interesting, quite like Alpha G, beautiful boat, very luxurious interior. I think that's worth a look. And then because we cannot just talk about the very large yacht, I have to mention Escape of London, which is a Jack Hargrave design. And this boat was built, and many people said it was Jack's best design yet. Jack Hargrave, long gone now, was a captain originally and became this prolific, very well-known designer who did a lot of boats in the U.S. market. I forget how many, it's like hundreds, really. And he designed Escape of London for a repeat client of his. And it was said to be the best design he's ever done. And nobody got to see it because the owner loved it, took it, and nobody ever saw it. And so last year, after 25 years, or I forget how many years of ownership, the family put it on the market. And it attracted a very experienced yacht owner called Jack Seton, a guy who's built so many boats, so many of the famous boats around. And he bought it and took it to try it out a little bit. And now he's put it back on the market. I have a story online if you care to see about Escape of London. It's listed with Fraser. And I went to see the boat and talked to the broker. And I just love the spaces. You can tell that kind of older boat that, you know, just things were simpler times. You know, you have like a big water dispenser in the crew area, you know, like one of those filters that you may have in an office. And why not? I mean, you know, these people wear green before. We talked about that. You know, a water cooler is the perfect solution, right? So you don't have all these bottles and everything is where you expect it to be. The switches are where you are, or you want to turn on the lights. You reach out up because you're going down the stairs and looking for support. And sure enough, there's a handrail there. It's very well conceived. Anyway, Escape of London, older boat.
You definitely know how to pique someone's interest. I'm definitely going to go and look up that story now.
So any of these boats, which one would you like to see, Gabby, or any others?
Yeah, I know we were talking a lot about big boats. I love big boats, but I was looking through the list, and do you know the one that actually really caught my eye was Grey Cliffs?
Ah, is that because of the name?
Possibly, but it's mostly because it's a 33-meter Fed ship.
Yeah.
That really stuck out to me. I'm so used to seeing especially larger yachts from that shipyard. So I'm curious to see what one of their creations looks like when it's been distilled down to like basically half of its normal size. And, you know, she was the first in a series of five. So obviously the design was very successful, but I'd be really, really curious to get on board and see how she compares to other yachts of a similar size. But do you think that, I know that there's a now 50-meter Grey Cliffs also coming from FedShip. Do you think, much like Casino Royale, her owner commissioned?
Yeah, I think it's the same person.
Same owner commissioned?
Yeah.
They do look alike.
The interior designer is American designer Marty Lowe, who's an absolutely lovely designer. Love her stuff. She's done all the first U.S. deliveries for San Lorenzo for years, and other boats. She's lovely. Yeah, I would venture to guess that's the same owner. Not that I know for a fact. But
that's interesting, though. If I were to own a succession of yachts, I don't know if I would just look to make the same yacht but bigger.
Yeah. Well, if you love it, why not?
That's fair. All right. So moving on to some of those new boats and debuts that we mentioned, just because there are so many this year.
Yeah, there are. So one of the ones I've caught my eye, definitely I am on my list to see because I'm a fan of the yard as well. From Alia Yachts in Turkey is the 43-meter Ximena with an X. I don't know if they pronounce it with an X. I'd love to see that one, yes, for sure. And I will.
Oh, I'm such a fan of that yard as well. I really, really love their yachts. They made one of my recent favorites, San.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great yacht.
But I think that open day boat concept is really unique. And I really love that kind of gunmetal gray with the black glazing. I think that the fact that it looks so different from Ximena in my mind just emphasizes that their range and their ability as a custom builder. So you'll have to tell me all about it.
Then our friends at Westport Yachts are debuting their first 41-meter 135 feet RPH raised pilot house for those who wonder what RPH means. And I'm looking forward to seeing that as well. They've slowly evolved their models, and this is one of the bigger ones that they have put on the market. They've extended some of the existing yachts. It has to do with some of the equipment in the engine room to comply with the new requirements. And so I'm looking forward to seeing this one. I always love the Westport, so well planned usually.
Well, I mean, she might be the first one, but they've already sold two more hulls of the same model. So yeah, clearly people agree.
Yeah, good. And then let's see, Benetti has a very highly customized Oasis 40 meter, you know, that series with a big aft and the pulls on the aft, just the stairs cascading to the water. I mean, they've really hit the nail on that one. Everybody loves an Oasis with R.W. Lee design, I believe, right? I hope I'm not sticking my foot in my mouth. I think that's what it is. Yeah. And so that's a 40.8 meter boat called Live Love, L-I-V Love. Cute.
Yeah, those Oasis models have just been flying off the shelves. And the yard was just saying, you know, it's booked out until 2029 for new builds. So this is obviously a really great opportunity to get your hands on one. So I think this boat in particular will be very busy at the show.
And then New Marine, another Turkish yard who is doing really well with its Explorer series, is debuting this 39.4 meter Mita. It's part of its XP series of 40 meter Explorers. That will be there, I think, being shown by Denison Yacht Brokers. They work very closely with Denison.
Is she an XP or an MXP?
MXP, actually. What does that mean, actually?
I was really intrigued by this, so I went and asked them about it in Cannes, but it stands for Mediterranean Explorer.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be this blend of adventure and comfort, similar to what CDM's doing with the RJ Flexplorer line. With the RJ line. But it's basically, you want all the benefits of an Explorer yacht or an expedition yacht that can go anywhere, but you also don't want it to look out of place. You know, if you're going for a summer in the Mediterranean, you want it to look very classic and beautiful. And so I think it's, you know, aiming to kind of find a happy medium between the two requirements in the owner's eyes, or at least that's just my understanding, but you'll have to ask them when you go.
Yeah.
But you know, that 40M XP is already proving to be a really, really popular series. They've just sold a third unit that's now under construction, and it should be scheduled for delivery next year.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going long on the tooth, but there's so many interesting boats, so I'll just kind of slip in a few more. So Baglietto, the wonderful Italian builder, and La Spezia Italy, Baglietto, has the 38-meter custom-built Enterprise. That was built custom-built for American owner. I saw the boat in the European shows. I think it's the first time it's being shown in the US, if I'm not mistaken, to potential clients. It's a very interesting boat. It has a lot of volume for its size. It packs so much on that 38 meter length. It's really cool.
Enterprise, you say, it sounds out of this world.
Beat me up, Scotty, right? And all that. Then Moon and Yachts, a lovely Dutch yard that's been purchased by Australian investor, who were lovely, lovely couple, has been doing quite well with the Martinique series, 122 feet long, so 37.5 4 meters. And so the boat is called Ad Astra, and that will be there at the show. That's always a must-see. It's absolutely top-notch Dutch build quality on a smaller scale. And I personally think those boats are absolutely lovely, but that's just my personal opinion. It doesn't matter to anyone.
Well, she's for charter, so.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely. I believe she's being shown by IYC, if I'm not mistaken. IYC and Munen have a good working relationship, so I'm pretty sure that's the case. And then maybe last but not least, I'll mention the Van der Valk Motor Yacht 1. I actually saw that one in Holland. They had finished it. It has a interior by Carla Guillem, beautiful and very talented interior designer based in Miami, Brazilian originally. She also has an office now in Italy. And she had worked with this other Dutch yard on this boat. Also very interesting. I believe the former or the commission owner had an Ocean Alexander before, you know, so he was looking for volume and amenities similar to kind of in that idea. And I went through it. Very nice boat. Nothing to say against it. It's just, you know, obviously well done. So that should be interesting to someone, the right size, right volume.
And you know what? Fun fact about Van der Valk is that they won really big at the BDAs last month. Their yeah. 35-meter La Labe. Gosh, it tied with FedShip's Breakthrough, so for the most number of awards.
Yeah, it won a naval architecture. It won an exterior design. I think the rationale from the judges there was how much volume they put on there without making it look completely like a floating building on water. And the interior was really lovely, very accessible. So, so well done.
Big hopes for Motor Yacht 1 then.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. That's all I have to say about that. What say you, Gabby?
Well, do you know what? I'm asking for a friend here. But so I wanted to ask you, you know, what does your perfect day at Palm Beach look like? And do you have any advice for first timers?
Take your time. Don't try to pack too much in. Be selective about the boats. Enjoy a nice lunch somewhere. Mm. Enjoy the day. Beautiful time of the year here in Florida.
Well, we do have plenty of recommendations for, you know, where to go for restaurants, among other recommendations on our Insider's Guide to the Palm Beach Show, which you can find on Boat's website. So anyone planning to go over for the show, be sure to check that out.
We'll have a live blog too.
Yeah.
Fun.
Which I'm sure you'll be updating.
No, I will be enjoying my day.
But Cecile, thanks so much for all of your insight. I can't wait to hear about how the show goes.
Thank you so much, Gabby. I'm sorry you won't be with us this time, but next year, please make sure.
Mark your calendar.
Well, that's all for now. Thank you for listening to Boat Briefing, a production of Boat International. See you next time.